What's up, everybody? You are now tuned in to the Grown As Fuck podcast. Let's go.
You ever had peach rings? Got any peach rings before?
I have moved away from candy. I am a junk food junkie, but somewhere along the line, I was okay with not eating candy.
Yeah, the problem is I'm not a junk food person, but only lately.
So we're
on. Okay. Number one. All right, cool. Hey, what's up, y'all? Welcome to Grown As Fuck. I'm your host, Von DiCarlo. Your Grown As Fuck host, I should say. Welcome. We're here to have some Grown As Fuck discussions, and I have a Grown As Fuck guest I'm very excited to have here. What's up, Clarity?
How you doing, Von?
I'm good. That was so...
How you doing, Von?
How you doing, Von?
We were just talking about gummy bears. That's how
gummy
wacky
peach
we
rings.
Are. Gummy peach rings, because, see, I'm a fatty. So
no,
I like
not,
food.
No, not. What does that mean? Like internal fat, like when you eat a lot?
No, like I'll challenge myself and see how many Krispy Kreme donuts I can eat before I pass out.
Krispy Kreme.
You need to check your period at because you, are you about to start your period? Because you're like,
Nah, because I'm hungry. I'm a growing young man. And I love Krispy Kreme donuts, you know. Who doesn't like Krispy Kreme?
But look, so I met Clarity as a stand-up comic. We were both doing the same show.
Yeah.
And then we followed each other on social media, and I see, like, you're a comedian, you're an actor, you're like a fitness, like, I don't know if guru is the right word. Like, what is it that you don't do? So what I want to know is how are you so super fit and eating peach gummy rings? Because I gained 5 pounds having this conversation.
You don't. Stop it. No. That's, you know.
It has to be a method to your madness.
Yeah.
I'm sick of looking at people on Instagram and feeling like their life is so magical, right? We know that that's not true.
It's a lie.
It's a method to the madness. And yeah. Anyone who already knows you or is a follower of your social media can see that you are doing so many different things. So how is it that you manage to do all of these different things?
So the government started doing, like, these programs. They started cloning people, right?
I hate you.
Yo.
I know they can eat junk food all day, too.
Yo, listen.
Because that's my dream, is that I look good, I'm healthy, and I can eat donuts all day.
Yeah, you can. All three of those things you said are true.
How?
How what?
This thing's from the future. Are you, like,
no,
you're
I, honestly,
black? Like,
did you see Gemini Man?
No.
Neither
was it
I.
good?
I heard it was not.
I heard it was trash.
Yeah, and I
don't want to watch Will Smith be trash.
But it's Will, so he can get away with it. It doesn't matter.
But at what level, right, as an entertainer, do you go, I know I could get away with trash, but I'm not going to because I don't want to disappoint?
I know. I think that level. But the thing is...
Do you think he thought it was going to be trash?
No, I think he thought it was going to be great. I mean, John Woo's a great director. He's a great action director. We don't know what happened. I don't know if, like, the special effects company screwed them.
Maybe it's just too much Will. Remember, what was it? Matrix, the third one, where the guy just kept multiplying.
Yeah, but
himself.
That was still legendary.
And nobody. It was just too many hymns.
Nobody complained about that. Nobody complained.
I hated the third one.
I've never seen none of them.
I just saw all three. I did a marathon of them back to back,
of
like
the
2 Matrix?
Weeks
ago.
It was just basically about Jesus and. Or the father, well, not Jesus.
It was about Jesus. I didn't get
well,
Jesus.
Well, the brothers, this Wachowski, how do you say their names?
I don't know. Don't ask me to do words. People who listen and follow me, they know I don't have words.
You don't, I don't know what the problem is. I would hope that I would never get to that level. And
wait, and you don't want to get to what level?
I don't want to be at that top tier level and be like, I'm okay if this comes out. Like, I'll probably have more anxiety than anything. The higher you are, I feel, the more under a microscope, the more I would want to get it right.
I think for me, like, no matter who you are as an entertainer, if your integrity is in the right place, you always want...
Yeah, I agree with that.
...to do a hell of a job. Like, even if you're doing a 5-minute guest spot just to work on new material at a little bar.
Yes.
Or if you're doing Madison Square Garden during a comedy festival, you know, you want to kill it.
Yeah.
Or at least put your best foot forward. So I don't care what level I'm on. I don't know that there'll be a place where I'm like, I don't really care. Let me see what that bag look like. You know, there's just some people that like even in comedy, a lot of people are just looking for an opportunity to be seen, to get in movies and grab a bag. Mm-hmm. They're not really comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's how it is though. Like even with everything, like athletes getting in stuff, influencers and all these different types of things. I mean, you know, that and that's what sometimes causes us a bit of a bitterness or resentment on either end, right? Like they're giving parts to people who are not that thing and people who are fighting in that area, in that field, and people get those opportunities. But I think we're in an interesting time now. You asked earlier, how am I able to do all these things? I think the time that we're in is interesting that a lot of people have more time on their hands, being that you can be more independent. Like
right.
Back in the day, to do what you wanted to do, whether it was like have a TV show, right? Like it used to be a pipe dream, like an Oprah thing or whatever it is. Now you can on your own, and you have the internet, and all you have to do is find an audience of people that like what you do, what you put out, and what you talk about. Then you have an audience, then you have a following, then you have a legion of people, and at that point, it just becomes consistency. On whatever scale, whether it's on your YouTube channel, your Instagram channel versus ABC, it's all the same.
Right.
It's nothing different.
But here's where the integrity comes in, because there are a lot of influencers or Instagram comedians that do stand-up.
Yeah.
And then you go see them do stand-up, and it's like, just started 15 minutes ago, but you packed out the house, and you don't even have a solid 15 minutes, let alone an hour. So to me, you're completely ripping those people off, and you're giving them a false impression of what stand-up comedy is.
And see, here's the conversation that comes with the purist community, because I feel you, right? Like, on one hand, when it comes to filmmaking, I'm a filmmaking purist. Like, I'm a snob. Like, I don't just like, but so like,
right.
I believe in 10,000 hours. Mm-hmm. I believe in filmmaking. I don't like movies. I hate when people come, like, there's a difference in film and movies. I'm a snob. I'm a son of snob. There's a lot I don't care about. Like, I'm like, nah, whatever. When it comes to filmmaking, yo, listen, I'm an asshole.
Okay.
So in that regard, I can understand if like, there's an actor like, I don't know, Tom Hardy, whatever, Daniel Day-Lewis or whatever, they do a role this year. Or even with Adam Driver, there's a lot of great performances this year and things, right? They've been doing it, they deserve it, whatever, whatever. And then if, like, some sort of film or, like, some... And I'm an influencer, I guess I came up in the influencer community, but if somebody like that got a part just because whatever, and they're being mentioned in the same category with those who, like, put in work in their craft, it's almost like you don't...
But it depends, because there are influencers of the comedy world that became famous on, like, Instagram or whatever, but they had already been doing stand-up. So you go see them do stand-up, and it's like, oh, they're solid, they're funny.
Yeah.
So it could work against them, because the reputation for a lot of other comedians or Instagram comedians that are stepping into stand-up, it's almost like anybody steps into stand-up these days.
It's hard.
Oh, let me just... Right.
Stand-up is hard. I had to be forced into stand-up.
People act like it's just until they get up there. That's when they find out, oh, you're not just standing there talking. It's like, no, this is a process.
I've done a lot of things in my life. Stand-up is by far one of the hardest things I've ever had to do in my entire life. I've done a lot, right? That was hard, and it was fearful, and it was scary, but, you know, I respected it. I still respect it. That's why I haven't been on stage in, like, God knows how long. Nah, I know, because it's like I've been writing and I've been like collecting material.
And right, no, that's
just,
fair.
I don't want to just jump up because I get offered stages just because whatever. Because I get offered stages just because of that very thing.
Right.
Because, you know, clarity, Instagram, influencer, Vine, all the social media stuff. It's like, yeah, you want a stage? I get thrown stages all the time. I'm like, nah, I'm good. Because if I wasn't who I was, right, you wouldn't call me in and just give me that stage.
Right. So how do you balance that? Because as a comic, you don't want to stay off stage too long. It's like not going to the gym for 3 months. You're not going to walk into the gym and be able to pick up 100 pounds. Like, it's whatever.
No, I'm still working out, though, in different ways.
You work out low-key.
So, like, even though I'm not going on stage, like, I'll still hit an open mic. mm-hmm. or I'll still do right in my apartment.
Right.
And, you know, rehearse it in the mirror in my living room.
Right.
I know it's not the same, but, like, my fear of being in front of people is gone. I think that's part of it,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, getting on stage and getting over the fear of, like, seeing people react live to your joke, if it lands or not. It's like, if you get over it, I don't care about none of that shit.
Right. For me, I've done a lot of stuff in this business as well, but stand-up is my grace. Like, that's the only thing that I've ever done where I don't get nervous.
Ooh,
even if I'm working on something brand new.
That's a gift.
It's just who I am. It's just what I do.
Because you're born to do it.
Acting, it's like, I am a hot freaking mess, like the script I'm shaking. Now that's
what I do in my sleep. In my sleep.
Now, commercial acting, I've booked a few commercials the past few years, but mm-hmm. I credit my experience as a stand-up comic and my years of improv for those commercials more than I do, like, any acting. Like, acting to me, and I'm not saying commercial acting isn't acting, mm-hmm. but I'm saying, like, dramatic acting, you have to get into this character.
Yeah, you have to die.
That's hard, and I think because I'm a little cray-cray, and I understand...
A little.
I don't know what that was.
No, I was responding to the cray-cray point.
I thought you was responding to my imaginary friend right here.
Did you hear the ghost knock when you said you was cray-cray?
Yes.
The ghost was like, yes.
Yes.
She is.
I'll tell you who that is later. Anyway, so... Back to what I was saying. Stop it.
I didn't even do anything.
Back to what I was saying.
I want peach rings.
Because I'm a little cray-cray, mm-hmm. I understand the process, and I respect all forms of art, right? So if I'm going to take a role, I understand the process of getting into this character mm-hmm. and really embodying who this person is. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know if you saw The Joker yet. I'm sure you did. Because you're a movie dude.
Mm-hmm.
What he had to do mm-hmm. to be the Joker... Mm-hmm. To me, he needs therapy to get out of being a joker. Like, there is no way you could go that deep. And, like, for instance, I had a commercial audition, and usually I get the funny girl commercials. This commercial was for a cancer center. And my mom is recovering from cancer, and it's like a lot of situations in real life, people who follow me know, going on with cancer. And I was playing the patient, not the doctor, not a family member, but the patient. So I had to look into the camera and say, you know, I have cancer and this is what's going on. And I like going to this particular center. And I was like, you know what? As many times as I had to say it in the audition, I went home and I had to tell myself, you do not have cancer. That was not you. That was a character. Because the more you're into it, your body is receiving this information.
You're reacting as such.
Right. So there's a process to get into the character and there's a process to get out.
I agree.
That I am not quite fond of. So I like to keep it, any acting stuff, I like to keep it very hee hee ha ha.
Mm-hmm.
And get in and get out.
I'm the opposite.
Right. You're the opposite.
I'm very method.
Mm.
Yeah, like
so you crazy, man. You crazy.
That's why I'm so.
I find actors to be so weird.
That's why I'm so like, because I'll suppress a lot, and then I just through my acting, I like kind of like release it, and then yeah, like I like to draw from personal and real life experiences, mm-hmm. and I also like to put myself there because there's a lot of times there's things that I wish I would have done, or you see a situation like, man, if I was there. I would have done this, or you try to prevent a situation. So I try to put myself in it, and acting is therapeutic in that way, where it's mm. like, if I couldn't in real life do that because of the consequences or repercussions or because of whatever the result of that would be, I like to release that in acting.
Interesting. That's
methodically.
I understand that.
So that I can separate, because that was my release. That was my, all right, I'm good now.
Right. See, for me, stand-up, I don't like people who abuse the stage and use the stage as their therapy. I'm very personal on stage. Mm. My stand-up comes from my life. Mm. So people find me to be very bold in the things that I talk about. However, it's things that I've already dealt with. You know what I mean? So that's, once I've dealt with it and I understand, I think everything is funny. I don't care what it is. But that's where I'm from. Like, I grew up poor. I grew up in a project. Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Where are you from?
Florida.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hands up. Don't shoot. You got a gun on you? Like, y'all crazy in Florida.
I know. I think I left.
I mean, Pittsburgh is very racist, but I don't know. See, y'all shoot them up. Bang, bang. It's like all kinds of massive.
It's crazy over there. Florida man is a real thing.
Yeah.
You heard that phrase before, Florida man.
Florida man? What is that?
Oh, you have to Google it.
Well, we're doing a show.
Do you put graphics on your show? The audience, y'all have heard of Florida Man, yes. Some of them are saying yes.
If I haven't heard of it, then they haven't heard of it. What is Florida Man? Just tell us.
So it's like a thing where there's always these weird cases and they're always like out of the state of Florida. Every time you hear the stupidest, most random civil crime,
it's like, always Florida.
It's always like, again, in the headlines, always Florida Man. And it's never like, it's always like this random guy, trailer park looking, white girl, lady. It's like Florida Man beats up alligator. It's like, who would beat up an alligator?
Yeah, that sounds like Florida. Right.
Or a Florida woman. You know, so it becomes this running joke of, like, there's all these headlines of, like, Florida Man.
And did you grow up, like, was it, like, middle class or, like, broke as fuck like me? Like, I grew up at the bottom of the bottom of the broke. And that's what my point was, is that has been survival from day one. Mm-hmm. We always found a way to laugh, no matter what was going on. My mother was like that when we were little. This is going to age me. But, I was around for the welfare line. Before food stamps, before those cards, we would have to stand in a line and get a box of food. And it would be, you know, the cheese and the bread and a pack of chicken. All this stuff is supposed to feed a family of four until the next month. Like that life. And my mother would read to us out of, like, joke books and stuff. Like, we were always, where I'm from, the way you survive is finding something funny in everything.
Of course.
And that's just what it was. Now, we can't assume that everybody black grew up poor. That's the other thing that I hate. Like, everybody assumes everybody's from the same place. Mm-hmm. Did you grow up middle class, or was it like...
I grew up...
Welfare lines? Are you still on a welfare line? I don't know what you do. You were eating those that candy in them...
This is the hoodest snack if I ever heard.
Gummy. I feel like I should have bought you lunch to come here.
You should have.
What is the peach tootsie?
Trolley. PGOs.
See, I do eat a lot of junk food, but I must say, I gave up candy a long time ago. Let me have one. I'm such a fatty. Anyway.
I gave up candy and proceed. No, whole thing.
Tell us.
Whole thing.
Listen, Florida Man.
Whole thing, they get the whole full flavor. Yeah, it's my when I'm talking, chew while I talk.
Okay, go.
Okay, so yes, so
it's a shower.
No, it's you better not waste that damn PGO.
Oh my god,
I love them that much.
Are you serious?
Eat
you about to be violent?
Eat it, please.
I don't want the cake. I
eat the cake.
Anime.
Vaname. Come on. It's gonna waste my PGO.
Nam yo ho renge kyo.
If you don't eat that ring, yo.
Okay, I'm gonna eat it. Tell us about Florida.
So I grew up middle class, I guess I would say. You know, like, but I grew up in the hood though. So I was the upper hood class. You know, the upper hood, you know, like Stanley.
I got you.
You know what I mean? Like, I was like Craig's household.
Okay.
That was my household, like Craig. Okay. You know, we had cereal, but sometimes we had no milk. But we had apple juice.
Okay. And so you had a house, though.
Yeah, we had a house. Thank God.
It wasn't like projects.
Nah. We had a house. But the house was like I don't know how we painted.
You know, speaking of Craig's house, I didn't know the hood had houses until I saw...
Friday?
Yeah, Friday.
Yeah, the hood has houses.
I was like... These people in California are crazy. They got a house. They got what are they mad about?
California hoods aren't really like that.
I was like, what are they?
I mean, they're a hood. They're dangerous, but now like it's weird, yeah. Because
it's like fabricated anger.
No, right? Because it used to be all white neighborhoods, and then they moved us in, and then we just took over. We gentrified.
Right.
I think that's what they're doing now, getting us back for taking over California.
Oh, is that what's happening?
Inglewood was in Compton were like all white neighborhoods.
Oh, see, I don't really know. I just. You know what? When I was growing up, I was always thinking about New York. I wasn't thinking much about L.A.
Just
I think that's the comedian
just
in me.
Just close-minded.
And I could be close-minded, too, since you want to point that out. I did eat the gummy thing, though. I'm not close-minded.
I'm
I just had a goal. I set a goal when I came to New York.
And you never left.
So
yes.
I have been around the world-ish
in
a couple places. Mm-hmm. I haven't been all over the world like you. One of the things I do want to talk about, thank you for reminding me. Mm-hmm. Your Instagram stories mm-hmm. led me mm-hmm. to talk with you about
your
these
eyes.
Glasses. Yes. Mm-hmm. So, well, let me just set it up because a lot of people don't know. So mm-hmm. I had LASIK about 2007-8-ish. Mm-hmm. And... LASIK eye surgery is not a magic pill. They're resetting your eyes back to 20/20, right? Mm. And then around 10-15 year mark, you may need a tweak. So it's about that time for me. I go in to get you know, glasses because I had a gig on a road. I was driving. During the day, I could see fine. At night, I'm like, I can't see nothing. So I went into, like, Lens Crafters the next day. I had to get the hour pair because that's how bad it was. And I would have had to give up my gig for the weekend because I couldn't drive.
That's crazy.
And they said, yes, you do need glasses to drive. And I told them about LASIK, and I said, you know what? It's about time for the tweak. It's been about 10, 15 years. And they said, we're going to send you to a specialist.
Okay.
I go to the specialist, and not only did they tell me that I cannot get LASIK again, but I cannot even wear contacts because I have some type of condition unrelated to LASIK surgery, just some type of condition happening with my cornea. So I reached out to you like, I'm about to die because I got to wear glasses.
Mm-hmm.
And I was watching you in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Cure blindness, mm-hmm. like I said earlier, what is it that you don't do?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I got to hear all about this trip to Africa,
yeah.
Curing blindness,
yeah.
And, you know, your background in that whole world.
That thing. So, yeah, I've been traveling with this organization called the Himalayan Cataract Project. They are an organization that works on curable blindness, primarily cataract blindness due to hereditary genetic at birth. Trauma caused, whatever it is, there is certain blindness that is curable. And so we work with those blindnesses and going all over the world and third world countries, poorer countries, in donating our time. And because of the medical disparity between America and over there, the average surgery, given all the donations and time spent, is $25. And about 15.
I got $25.
Yeah, but you also are a U.S. citizen where they, you know, they don't care about your health and they make you pay.
I'm moving to Africa.
Hundreds of that. Yeah, I'm splitting time there.
Are you really?
Oh no, I'm serious.
Like property, like I'm buying property. Move.
Yes.
What part of Africa?
Starting with Ghana.
Because it's a whole continent.
It's a whole continent.
It's a whole continent.
Yeah,
not a half a continent. Not a little bit of a continent, but
yo,
a whole
the United
continent.
States of America is the foot of Africa size.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can fit the U.S. inside of Africa, like, I forgot the number.
And is that you would, a place that you would find yourself living?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm very
like,
serious.
Like, giving up American citizenship.
I'm very serious. I'm going to split time between Africa, London, and still have a place in the U.S. Obviously, I'm born here. But, like, I have my mother, I can get U.S., I can get citizenship in London, I can get citizenship in Africa.
Oh, wow.
My mom
so
was
you
born
out.
In.
Like, we got about all but 5-10 minutes.
Oh, I'm out.
Really?
Oh, I'm out.
I can't imagine. Like, I remember in 2016 when everybody was like, if Donald Trump wins, I'm moving. I'm leaving the United States. And, like, nobody left.
Nobody left. People be talking.
Because people just be talking. It's
but
bullshit.
But you know what it is? There's a few. There's a small legion of people who are like dual dipping in Africa and New York. I ran into, matter of fact, when I was there last October, a month and a half ago, I ran into two people alone that I run into in New York a lot.
Really?
I heard somebody.
In Ghana,
in Accra, I heard somebody be like, yo, Clarity. And it sounded too American. I'm, like, I'm at this hookah lounge, like, Clarity. And then it was this American-ass accent. And I turned, I was like, yo. And I recognize the dude's face. He's like, yo, it's so-and-so from da-da-da-da. I know so-and-so. I'm like, yo, what are you doing here?
I think I watched that on your Instagram stories, too. I was like.
Yeah. It looked
party.
Like. Yes. It doesn't look any different. They've lied to us. Black Panther is a documentary.
Wakanda isn't real, unless you know something that I don't know.
Where my peach rings at?
I'm just saying. You said Black Panther, and I just wanted to point out
I'm going to tell you a true story. This is all God. Yo, my thighs are really warm.
Is it me? Your thighs
no,
are
my
warm?
Like my frontals.
What's wrong with your thighs?
They just really is hot.
Are we still in the two shot here?
Yeah, we're
good. We're supposed to be a relaxing.
Well, wait, I'm confused what happened to your thighs.
I just don't have, normally I would wear holes.
Is it the lighting?
Probably the heat. It's a lot of heat going on. My thighs are heat. No, it's just because I got the coat on and.
Oh, okay.
Nah, because the light. It's fine. I was just making the.
It was because you were talking about Africa and Ghana, and then I corrected you and told you that Wakanda wasn't real.
Wakanda, let's get back to this conversation about Wakanda being not being real.
Go ahead.
Okay, so this is a true story. So there's a neighborhood that my buddy lives in. He's a doctor in the States and in Ghana. So first of all, the money in Ghana their exchange rate, our money goes so long over there.
Really?
Like, it's insane. Okay. So we took an Uber. First of all, there's Uber in Africa, okay? An Uber from the airport to his neighborhood, which is like the equivalent of, it's a very affluent neighborhood. So, you know, it wasn't close, but it wasn't far. But the point is, if it was like L.A. or New York, it probably could have been a $30, $45, $60 Uber.
That's why I took the train today.
Yeah.
And I got bullied because I have glasses on. That's the story I wanted to tell you.
Nobody's doing that anymore.
So I got on a train, right? Mm-hmm. And this guy came behind me, a very tall, he was about, well, he said his height, he was 6'4", very fierce, had his lips perched like he's always sipping tea, one of them. And I was in front of him, and I sat down in a seat, and he stood over me and was like, I was gonna sit there, you fat bitch. And I just looked up.
Whoa. The dude, a man said this?
Yes.
Was he a man, or was he?
Well, that leads me.
See, because he thought because he played on the other team, he thought he could be rude.
No, he didn't have on a dress or anything like that.
Nah, but
that.
He was gay. Was he gay? It's okay if he was gay.
Yeah, I mean, he was flamboyant. Like, you could assume that.
Yeah, so the thing is, that's the thing, you know, when you're flamboyantly gay, it's like they don't, it's like that's why he communicates to you like a fellow female is catty.
Right, but it was very bully-like.
Well, yeah, because he's still a man. That's what's so tricky about that whole thing.
Right, so
it's like
then,
they assert their maleness when they want to.
You know what? Let me finish this story in a minute because I was talking about not taking an Uber here, and I got on the train because the Uber was going to cost like
$50.
Yeah. But I distracted it from the Africa talk.
Yeah, sure.
About the we'll Uber. Get, well, I'll finish telling
We'll come
that
back
story
to that.
Minute. Yeah.
So we called an Uber to my buddy's neighborhood. The point is it should cost about that. First of all, the exchange rate alone, when we got to the neighborhood, the whole entire Uber ride cost $2 US.
Wow.
By the time it exchanges, it's $2, okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is we're pulling up to the neighborhood, and I'm seeing, like, down the row, you're driving past, and you can see all the houses over there, all these big, like, white palaces and just big neighborhoods, like Islesworth or Beverly Hills or, you know, whatever affluent neighborhood in New York was, Manhattan on this count, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just nice. And you pull in this big gate, and right in front of the gate, the cul-de-sac, there's this, damn, I don't know, 30, 40-foot statue of, like, this black man in an army of his generals in uniform. And I don't know if he had a gun around. Like, you know, he's a general, so he had the strap, the rifle on his
Get
back.
Get the strap.
And then he had his fist. He had his fist in the air like this.
Okay.
He was leaning down. It was in all gold.
Hmm.
That was the statue in front of the neighborhood.
And the neighborhood said, "Welcome to Wakanda."
Yeah.
No, you know what? I cannot. Why did I
all
even?
Right, all right. So no, it didn't say that. But when you drive into the neighborhood and you see all these big fancy houses, you're like, "Oh, damn! Wow, this is nice, nice." Now you're seeing, like, you know, I don't know the proper architectural name for it, but you know a lot of the mosques and like the you know Arabian mosque, you know, like the gold like sphere-ish, and they go into a point. You see those things in the neighborhood, like money lives there, like Middle Eastern money, Asian money, everybody. And I'm like, yo, who owns this neighborhood? My buddy was like, oh, it's a married couple. And I'm like, yo, okay, I'm assuming like, you know, Middle Eastern Dubai, whatever. He said, no, they're black. It's a black couple. It's a husband and a wife. And they own the neighborhood with all these fancy houses that all every other country lives in. And with this statue out from this black man doing like this with his fist in there. And I was like, yo, this is what I'm talking about, man. I'm moving here. Police don't carry guns. I was like, yo, what happens? Like, it's like people get shot by the police. My buddy was like,
like, it's just not like that.
He's like, what? That doesn't even make any sense. It doesn't translate.
Right. So let me ask this. So you would like have a family there, a whole family.
Yeah, I'm about to pull. Can I move my mic here?
We're going to wrap up in a sec.
You can clip it like somewhere else on like on your shirt.
Yeah, clip it on my shirt. Yeah, we good. We good.
You got that? Oh.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
Yep. It's going to
fall again.
Is it?
I don't know. Is it?
No, it's fine.
It's okay.
We're good.
Yeah, I can hear him just fine.
She's your queen to be. Yes, the T-shirt. So we'll get to wrap it up soon. So the hotspot question I want to ask you is about movies.
Mm-hmm. Films?
Films. Yeah. What? It's a different word for movies.
Yeah. There's a film. There's films and there's movies. Did we talk about this earlier? I'm pretty sure we talked about this earlier.
I might have been daydreaming while you was talking. I don't know. What's the difference between film and movies again?
Y'all were listening, right?
I don't know. Sometimes when people say more than three sentences, I get hungry.
I can't take the drinks. I don't want to get proper candy. You want some more peach rings?
I don't want any more peach rings. Your peach rings got me forget. That's what it is. It was the peach rings that made me forget.
Got nothing to do with this.
What's the difference between a film and a movie?
A film is art.
Okay.
A movie is a bunch of stuff put together that Hollywood puts out to make a dollar.
Okay, so there's there is something in the middle of that, like Coming to America.
Oh my God, that's a classic. I mean, that's not
it's
even
a film it's or a is it a movie?
Yeah, you know, Coming to America is a classic. Period. That's, you just call that a classic.
Please,
you
calm
call,
down.
You call that a classic.
Calm down, Ike.
You don't even
calm down.
All right, look, Vonna May, I done told you.
Look, so how do you feel about remaking all these different classic movies?
I hate it
too.
It's annoying.
I hate it too, but that's not the hot spot question. So here on a Grown As Fuck show, real discussions, right? Hot spot question. So it appears that a lot of, like, Hollywood is taking a look at black actors. They're putting them in strong lead roles in films now. But I notice a lot of them are non-American.
You're British.
Black actors.
That's why
they're all British.
I'm going to the UK right now too.
So you're jumping ship to go to all over the world. He's just leaving. But how do you feel about that? Like, I feel like when I saw Queen of Slim, I loved it. I was like, oh, Queen of Slim. I want to be Queen of Slim for like Halloween. They're like, Queen of Slim. And I'm like, wait, I know Daniel, and then, I didn't know her.
Yeah, she's British, too. She's English.
Right. And then Idris, and I'm like, wait a minute. Even the woman who's playing Harriet Tubman.
English.
So what are you trying to tell us?
The better actors and better training comes from over there. That's what I'm going to do over there.
Is that 100% true?
It's for sure.
Or is it? Are they low-key saying, we'll take a look at black actors, but even American black people, we just never seem to be good enough for anything.
It's not that, because first of all, I want to dispel that, because there's no separation between American black and African black. We're all black.
We're all black. However, we do come from different backgrounds and different situations,
yeah,
and different cultural things. And the things that happened to black Americans, mm-hmm, did not happen to black people in other areas of the world.
What do you mean?
Culturally. Things that we went through culturally.
What
the things that were, I'm not saying things weren't happening there, but there were things happening here, and just how we grew up and things that we had to deal with, and how we were put into a system, systemic racism and everything that's still going on today.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, great. We could be lead actors in films, but no, not you dirty, funky Americans. British people.
Yeah, I look at it very differently because a lot of my family's from England too. My mom was born there. So I feel like the work, a lot of the black people in England come from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
It's like Nigerian, Jamaican. There's no real such thing as Jamaican either. It's African colonialized Caribbean blacks. You took them from Africa, you took them to Jamaica and Bahamas, and then of course Nigerians that go to London. So a lot of those, if you think about the history of entertainment, it comes from our culture.
Mm-hmm.
So acting and singing and dancing in the motherland before there was anything like entertaining, rituals, all that, that's what it originates from,
right,
to entertain. So it's in our blood from just that land and that soil. It's a very blessed land and rich soil,
right,
altogether. I don't think America is saying like, oh, we're not good enough here. The culture of acting is far more,
right, I hear you,
taken serious over there and in those countries and those regions, wearing it over here, it's more like I want to be an actor. I'm going to be an actor today.
You know, I'm going to try stand-up comedy.
It's like, there's a sense of privilege of like, I think I want to do this, as opposed to like,
right,
them. I'm not saying people here don't sacrifice.
Right, there are a lot of
and go to school for
American
20 years.
Actors that
but
study.
The culture of it,
mm-hmm,
the, you know, Shakespeare and that, it just it, on that, that is a land of like theater and performing, mm, and method and diving in. And so a lot of them have that kind of training. That's why there's no coincidence they're all that damn good. I'm not saying there's not good Americans, because you have,
right,
Denzel and things, but if you name
and
all,
just Denzel.
If you name,
there's
all,
no.
But name another American.
You can only have one.
Name another,
right,
dope, super dope American like black actor or actor, right? Majority of the ones, even now that we all your films, all your favorite actors, a lot of them are, and not saying it's a coincidence, not saying Americans can't be great, because you can. But like all the ones that we even admire, a lot of them aren't. A lot of them are. You know, De Niro, Pacino, Americans, you know. You got Idris. You got, Tom Hardy, Daniel Day-Lewis, you know.
I just find it very strange that all of a sudden when we're looking at quality actors, it comes to the black roles. You know what I'm saying? And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm not saying that these quality actors shouldn't get roles. I'm just saying let's not overlook.
I don't think we are.
Are actors domestically as internationally.
You know what it is? Hollywood's just lazy. Mm. And they don't like to discover new talent as much as they say they do.
Oh, they definitely don't. They're on Instagram right now.
They want it tossed in their lap. And again, I used to say that too. Is there a disparity between, I think it's the grass is greener. Like how we went to the UK, we are exotic over there.
Right.
I went to my cousin's school, and I was talking to the kids and the teachers, and the teacher was like, oh, my God, his accent is so cute. I'm like, Lord, God, say it again. I'm like, look at yourself. Look, Elton, he's
so. You did that pretty good. Let me try. Oh, my God.
It's not bad.
That's all I got. How was that? I got some work to do.
Nice. It's proper nice though, yeah.
All right, we're gonna wrap it up. I have to do I gotta do that.
Speaking of dirty minds.
Oh, I didn't even catch that.
God dang.
Should always wrap. Yes, children, always wrap it up. Be safe out there in these.
Streets?
In these streets. So I wanted to wrap it up.
Or you might get fake kidnapped.
Don't even bring that up. I was so mad about that hoax. I don't even want to talk about it. I was so upset.
Jussie Smollett.
I was so mad. I was like,
are we sure she did that?
Everybody involved in that should go to jail.
Was she not forced to tell you that she, like, maybe she really was, and then the police was like, say it was staged. Is there any scenario in which she was forced to say she was staged?
Unfortunately, in the information age that we are in, we are dumb. Because everything, you can't believe shit. You don't know what's true.
That
you don't
video
know what's
did
false.
Look real.
It looked very real. It looked very alarming. I have a young daughter. I was ready to, like, all right, we got to go find this girl. Because, you know, that's not nothing to play with. So now the way I feel like, oh, if something happens to someone in my family or someone that I know and no one wants to look because you cried wolf, we all coming to your house.
Beat your ass.
Why would you even do that?
But even the footage, the way they did it, they just coincidentally did it where the footage was captured. Like, it was real surveillance footage, but
it was definitely better than Jussie Smollett. He should take some tips from however they did it. It was done very well.
Well, that was a film, and Jussie Smollett was a movie. That's what happens when.
I like that. Nice callback. Look at you working those comedic muscles and,
you know,
callbacks.
Something.
So I want to do the grown as fuck gripes before let you go. Mm. So the grown as fuck gripe segment is where
already?
People.
But
what?
We just got. You gonna let me go already?
Yes, you gotta go. I got other people coming through. I'm gonna change my clothes and pretend like it's a whole new day and shoot another person.
Well,
you know, attach yourself to those little gummy things. I never want to see those again. They were really good and disgusting at the same time. I'm rude.
Those are the best snacks you've ever eaten.
Okay, so
hot topic.
He's not gonna let me do my the grown as fuck. I think the gummy things got me high. Was that an edible? I don't do drugs. I don't drink or
you
do
just
drugs.
Did.
Was there something in that?
Yeah.
I'm suing you. Look.
You can't sue me.
For your microphone fell.
He can't sue me for that.
I could say you me too me. That's, you can't put drugs in the gummy rings. So anyway, the grown as fuck gripes segment is for all of us to tell us the our not gonna do's. Okay, so my not gonna do, I'm gonna go back to the story when I was on the train today and a big bully guy came up to me and I sat down in the seat on the train car and he was like, moved. He called me a fat bitch and said he was about to sit there. And in my mind, I was like, I have gained weight and I do eat a lot of donuts.
You're not fat.
But I was like, I'm carrying it well. You know, I got some work to do.
Carrying it very well.
Thank you. But then I looked at him like, what you not gonna do is bully me out of my seat. Now, I didn't say that. I just gave him that look. And then he went over to this other girl who was really tiny. She had glasses, too. That's why I know he was a glasses bully. And he was like, move and let me sit down, you fat bitch. He said the same thing to her. And she was really skinny, okay. So he wasn't well. And he's like, and she got up right away. And he sat down and was like, I'm 6'4". Y'all need to respect me. So he wasn't well. So that's my not going to do. Like I said, what you're not going to do is bully me out of my seat. But what I'm not going to do is stay on that car and get beat up like I left.
Ooh.
Like I got out the train and went into the other car at the next stop. Because I'm a lover, not a fighter. Now, what's your not going to do? What's your grown as fuck gripe?
With that situation or in general?
In general. It could be about anything we talked about today, movies, whatever, my glasses.
God, no, that's so broad. There's a lot I'm not going to do. Can you help me? You didn't think of
I don't know what you're not going
to
do.
There's a lot.
What you're not going to do is bully me into making me do you're not going to do.
What you're not going to do is not have a good what I'm not going to do ready for, okay.
It could be what I'm not gonna. You could say what you're not gonna do.
Yeah,
or it could be what I'm not gonna do.
So if I was in that situation.
Any situation.
But if I was in that same situation, like if I was you, or if I was there with you, first of all, if he would have said that, I would have not even looked up. I wouldn't even look up.
First of all, he didn't do that to any man on the train. All
right, well.
Which is bully 101.
That is bully 101.
Pick on the people that you think you could beat.
So if I was seeing it, if I witnessed that, I would have said something to him on your behalf because I just don't like that. And I like to pick. I don't like to
pick. So you would have been like, what you not going to do is bully these women on this
train. What you not going to do is bully these beautiful sisters, these queens on this train. Or else what I'm going to do, and then I would, you know what I mean? I would have to make up something on the spot.
That was all right. He tried, y'all. He tried. So what I want you guys to do, what I want all the viewers and listeners to do is go to grownafcomedy.com, click on listen, and you will see where you could leave a message, where you could tell me what you're not going to do. And it could be general. Don't get so caught up on the specifics like he did. It could be about politics. It could be about relationships. It could be about not eating a cake anime. I don't know. Leave me a message. You will be part of the show. We shot here today at 3636 Studios. Thank you for the lovely space. Thank you for coming. I had a fun.
What you're not going to do is charge me a 50% APR interest rate on my housing mortgage just because my skin is a little tan. That's what you're not going to do.
I thought this was his house was in Africa.
See, what you're not going to do is make me pay property tax on the property that I still buy in this country and make me pay on it after I already purchased it. That's what you're not going to do.
Where can people find you, Clarity?
What you're not going to do is give people, is allow me to tell people where they can follow me or find me. Oh, on Instagram, on social media.
Yeah.
I thought you meant in real life.
I really think
what you're not going to do is make. You can follow me on Instagram at Clarity, KLARITY.
He has a very entertaining social media post. He's fun to watch. I hope you get back on stage. I enjoy you doing stand-up when you're doing stand-up.
Thank you, Vaughn.
And I would love to check out your films and all of that stuff.
Some stuff coming very, very soon.
But send me a script. I want to be in one.
Okay. Can you act?
What
you not going to do is yell at me.
What you not going to do is tell me that I can't be in one of your films because I'm not British. Thanks for watching. Bye. What's in those gummies, yo?
Nothing. Oh, that was fun. Are we done already?
At Poetry by Mario on Twitter. At Mario the Poet on Instagram. What you're not going to do is keep playing with me like I don't pay my own goddamn bills. I don't need you. Let the welfare feed you. Please don't raise your voice in my establishment because you will be politely asked to leave. Please Don't think your opinion matters so much to me that I won't tell you to shut up or that your vagina is that good. Because it ain't. What you not going to do is talk to me like that other sucker. Because I'm not him. And he ain't me.
Hi, Coach V. It's your boy Mike, a.k.a. Astro8713 on Instagram, wishing you many blessings and continued success in 2020. And my what you not gonna do for 2020 is you're not gonna tell me asking for help or support is considered weak. No one has gotten to where they want to be in life or needed to be in life without support or help from others.
That's it. Thanks for tuning in to the Grown As Fuck podcast and telling me all your grown as fuck gripes.